Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Now, if you look at verse 12, what it is saying is that there's a battle that's being waged against your heart. That's what it's saying. There's a battle that's being waged against your heart from powers above human understanding. But praise the Lord that he is also above human understanding, equipping us to take us through this battle so that we can be victorious. Amen. Verse 13, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Having done all, stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and the shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Take on the helmet of salvation. We preach through all these facets or these items one by one. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And that is where we will be this morning. What I want to say about the word of God, let me just read this one scripture. It is a little bit overwhelming to take 25 or 35 minutes and minister on the world of, on the word of God. It is a vast topic. So by no means do I claim that we're going to get everything down. But I think if we can speak this morning to our hearts concerning the word of God, it will take us forward, right? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to not explain to you where exactly the Bible came from and then who decided what got into the Bible. There's incredible work on that. But I'm going to speak more to our hearts around Scripture. Let's read Hebrews 4 verse 12 together. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, discerning the thoughts and the intentions of a heart. The word of God is a piercing force. And when it pierces into the heart of a man, it gets to work. And often what we find is as the word of God comes and pierces, we get a conviction that leads to a conversion, or we get a piercing which leads to a hardening of a heart and a turning away. As this word cuts, it has one of those things as a result. A softening towards God, and it's still piercing, it's still cutting, it comes with tears. But it cuts us unto God, or there might be a hardening of heart, whereas the word cuts, at one day, it will stand as a testimony against someone, which has then hardened their heart. This is the truth. And it has always been piercing in nature. Jesus has been called the Word of God because he's literally the Bible in action. And his life pierced people. He came on the earth and he said, I am the Son of Man. And then in a synagogue in front of the Jews, he forgives the sins of a man. And it pierces the audience. And some of them melt before him, gets up, maybe being healed, follow him the rest of their lives, other spots to kill him. You see the sword of the Spirit, the word, it cuts in both ways. When Jesus rose, it was like a sword piercing into the history of the world. Some would believe that this man is the Messiah, and after being cut by the word, would be brought near with great tears and thankfulness and would serve him unto death. Others would harden their hearts. The scripture through the ages pierces like that. David writes in Psalm 22, 1,000 years before Jesus got crucified. I had it on the screen 2 weeks ago. David writes, my God, why have you forsaken me? Then he writes, by the Spirit, they pierce my hands and my feet. They mock me. He's describing an execution. Now, David experienced great calamity. He was pushed out of his kingdom by his son at the age of 60. Back then, without medical aid and stuff, that's old. Okay, when you're 60, if you lose one of these, they're gone. They don't have replacements for that. At the age of 60, the beloved David walks barefoot out of his kingdom. Look, he experienced his fair share of calamity, but he was not executed. Someone else was. And so when Jesus on the cross quotes Psalm 22 and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? In Aramaic, which some of the Jews would understand, they would remember Psalm 22, look at him, oh, there's the holes in the hands and the feet, and it would pierce them to crumble before Christ as Savior or further harden him. Who is this man? To quote David, our beloved Father. It always has that effect. Stephen was a man in Acts chapter 8, 9, you can read, who was so pierced by the gospel that when he shared it, the Jewish leaders killed him as he was smiling towards the heavens. A man's heart pierced by the gospel. Those who threw him with stones was also pierced, but they were gathered to the other side. There was a hardening that they would kill this man. Isn't that incredible? The apostle Paul was one of them who got pierced. At first, his heart was hard. At one stage, Jesus says, why are you kicking against the goats? What God is saying is, I'm coming for your heart. He's prodding him, and one day, bah, the apostle Paul, his heart softened. He writes, he said, this resurrected Christ appeared to 500 people at one time, and the apostles go talk to them. Pierced him. The heart of man can be a stubborn heart. I just want to read us something out of Revelation. I'm not going to be long this morning, but I want this to get deep into our hearts. In Revelation 9, it describes a situation where demonic powers literally kills people. And there's an offer for repentance. There's an offer, there's a handout from God. Read with me. Revelation 9, verse 18, it says, by these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed. Corona is large school, all right? By fire and smoke and sulfur coming out of their mouths. It's speaking about these horses. For the power of the horses is in their mouths and in their tails. And the tails are like serpents with heads. And by means of them, they wound. Now listen up, the rest of mankind who were not killed by plagues, they said, oh Lord, now we've seen and we bring our hearts to you. Now we will worship you, lest we be killed like the others. Now, can you believe it? The rest of mankind, after seeing a third being wiped out, did not repent of the works of their hands, nor give up worshiping demons, idols of gold, and silver and bronze and stone and wood, which cannot see or hear or walk, nor did they repent of their murders, their sorceries, or their sexual immorality, or their theft. What do you do with a scripture like that? What do you do with a scripture like that where you read people would be killed by demonic forces and still not repent when they have the opportunity? What do you do with that? I'll offer something. You acknowledge firstly that it is possible for your heart to be just as hard. Because in that is where the Spirit will pierce you and you will become soft. Be very afraid for you to say, luckily, I am not like those people. Say, Lord, protect me. Protect me. When I open the sword of the Spirit, the word, tonight or tomorrow morning, protect me that when it comes into my life to influence and change me, that I don't harden my heart. Because this heart can very easily be hardened. Are you with me this morning? So, I want to read Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. When I was 18 years old, I was running away from God with a hardened heart, week after week, trying to find life. And at one stage, I ended up in a very small charismatic church, maybe the size of this little block here. And this church is not charismatic, all right? That church is next level. There's someone running with a flag. You must just watch out. It's like the World Cup. A flag comes by. Someone is on the floor. Someone is crying. Someone is laughing. And I'm just thinking, my friends will not think this is cool. And I just want to get out the back door. But my parents taught me that's rude to get up in the middle of a church service. So there I am. And at one stage, I am on my knees and I'm crying from my intestines. And God pierced into my heart. And that morning, I thank God that there was a soft heart in here. Because it had been a heart for many, many times. And this became something that I would hold on to since that day. Your words were found and I ate them. And your words became a joy and a delight of my heart. You see, the word of God will pierce some to conviction and conversion. But when it finds a tough heart, a hard heart, it will divide a human being to judgment. We have to say that because it is true. What about your heart this morning? Now, maybe your heart has been softened unto Christ into salvation. This morning, I am fighting for you. If you don't know God, I'm fighting for you and I've prayed for you that you will soften your heart like I did that morning. But if you are a believer, I'm fighting for the continuous softening of your heart under the word of God. That is my mission this morning. It is so easy to have a hard heart. Amen. So I'm going to take us to 4 points. The sword of the word in Shofar Harmon. It's just 4 things that I feel is for us this morning. I just want to say that the Holy Spirit does not make the words of the gospel or the words of the Bible the word of God. It is already the words of God. He does not make them true. Like, you know, when you put magical dust on something, it's like in, I don't know, Walt Disney or something. The words of God has been true. But he comes to the heart of a man and makes it receptive for this wonderful truth. And he's here this morning. Amen. At one stage, Jesus asked Peter, "Who do you say I am?" Peter said the following. He said, "You are the Christ, the Son of a living God. You are the King. You are God's Son." Many of the Pharisees said, "No, no, no, that's not how it works. We need to kill this man." And Peter comes and says, "You are." And this is what Jesus answers. He says, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." A heart that gets softened is an action of the Holy Spirit that awakens the heart to life. This has not come to you by human reasoning. This has not come to you by being wise, by having an education. This has come to you by my Father who is in heaven. So the first thing I want to say this morning, the sword of the word in Shofar Manas is, it is the Holy Spirit who pierces hearts and changes lives. And what I have to say on this morning is, if you are here, and maybe you're like me this morning, oh, I don't know what I'm doing here. I just saw the sign and next moment I just turned my car and I came in here, or someone invited me 36 times. We all know that believer, praise God for them. They never give up. And I said, you know, just to shut them up, okay, I will go one time with them because I cannot take another week. And here you are. I want to tell you, it is not your friend that invited you. It is the Holy Spirit who has brought you near for the softening of your heart before the King of the world, for the salvation of your soul forever. He is busy in your life. Isn't that true? That's why you are here. But for those of us who maybe it's your 100th time at church, you come here at automatic, you know, like in the morning, I go down the stairs into the kettle to make coffee, right? So you're on automatic when it comes to church. Don't get familiar with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit like in the same way I put on the kettle. Be in awe, always. Even if it's your 100th time at church or your 100,000th time, stand in awe. It's how you remain soft before God. Amen. It is the Spirit that is at work in you. Soften your heart. You know, the problem is not that sometimes, the devil is a liar, but it's the same lies, luckily, over and over. Sometimes we feel, you know, I am too weak for God to use me. I'm too weak to be a part of God's kingdom, or I'm too weak to go to that church. It's not the problem. It's not the problem. The problem is if we think we are too strong. Because if we know that we are weak, we will be soft before Him. For when I am weak, then I am strong. But then I feel weak, that's great. So go to Him for strength. He's already drawing you near. This morning wants to work in your life. Are you with me this morning? Let's move on. Pray then like this, Jesus says, Our Father. I want you to track community through those verses. There can be 500 up there. I chose just 3 sections. Pray like this, Our Father. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. See that. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. One of Andres' favorite verses. By the way, he's ministering in George this morning. So keep him in your prayers as he ministers thereby. It isn't George, right, Lisa? With Shofar, with Apostle Amu. And they are trusting God for amazing work there. And we are trusting God for amazing work here. Amen? If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. He who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. Second thing I want to say this morning about the sword of the word is that the Bible becomes real in community. The faith of the disciple finds traction in the community. Pray, Our Father. You are the body of Christ, individually members of it. This is very important. Very, very important. Why? It is in community that we are confronted with our own weaknesses. It is in community that we need patience with the weaknesses of others. And never are we given permission to exit community because the community is weak. we are called to enter. There's a man that recently died who was a great preacher around the world, and it came out after his death that there was great sexual sin in his life, unchecked for many years. And Christian leaders now are standing up with tears in their eyes and said the man was never part of a local congregation. He preached over many congregations, but he was never in one. Beloved, keep yourself in the faith. Keep yourself in a local church. Yeah, but those Christians, they are hypocrites. We know that, all right? We know that, especially now that you are here. I'm only joking. We know that. We know that. Yet we are called to plug in and love and be reminded. When we love those people who are so hard to love, who takes it sometimes and you just give them love and it feels like they step on your heart. It's very hard. It is what we do to Jesus. And so when we go through this life in community with the Word of God, it is where the Bible comes alive. It is when I have to pray for my heart of love towards a person for the 20th time that for a moment I realize as the word pierced, Lord, you never gave up coming to find me. The Bible becomes real in community. Isn't that true? It is the greatness of community that sometimes draw us close to God. Sometimes there's something that happens in your life, and maybe it was before you were a believer, and a bunch of Christians came into your life, and they helped you, and through their amazing love, you saw the love of God. Sometimes that happens, but it is sometimes through the failings of believers that we actually get deeper into the love of God. So community in pain, or that lets you down, and this one will let you down, by the way, it's an opportunity to press deeper. James 1, verse 12, we're talking about the word in life. The first thing I said is it is the Holy Spirit that pierces into your heart. The second thing was, in community, the word becomes even more real. Now, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. The one who remains steadfast, all right? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? So, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword. What I want you to see there is life happening to you. Sometimes it's you that experience a weakness. Sometimes it's a family member. Sometimes it's a heartbreak in church, in your family, at work. This is life. Blessed is the one who remains steadfast. A very important thing that we need to get this morning is that in number three, enduring difficult times takes the word deeper. It is that takes the word deeper into your heart. It is through those difficult seasons where we cling onto the word that we find him nearest. Unfortunately, there is a gospel out there that says, but if you make stuff right with God, all these difficult circumstances will be erased from your life. It is not the gospel. It is not in the word. And now what happens is when people go through a difficult time, they say, God has left me. No, he is closer than ever. Soften your heart. He is there. Enduring difficult times takes the word deeper, and so it becomes a sword against the schemes of the enemy. Take care, brothers. Lest in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. The last thing I want to say this morning, and if this cuts very deep into your heart, it is supposed to, because that is what the Word of God does, right? Pride is a dangerous symptom of a hardening heart, of a heart on its way to harden. We are not given the Word of God to win an argument. Be very careful. It leads to hardening in a prideful heart. We are given the Word of God so that our hearts can crumble before God and we can serve others. Be very careful. If you see the symptoms of a hardening heart, quickly go to God. Say, Lord, I sense competition in my heart. I sense anger in my heart. Let us pierce deeper. Can I do that? As Johnny says, Johnny is the oldest elder. He reminded me the other day. Johnny, can I go? Can I pierce deep? Johnny said, so. Okay, now she'll have a look at it. Now, I want to ask you, I want to pierce deep. Do you have any poor friends? Come on, we're opening the chest area here. Why not? Why not? You see, I know it's relative, but just take the truth and work with it. A poor friend, through a poor friend, you cannot socially navigate up a ladder. Where did we find him? Our Savior. While people were looking for the best seat in the house, working their way close to the host, we found him not even in the building, on the outside, of those who were poor. Literally poor and poor in spirit. Let us protect our hearts from pride in thinking that we are better than certain types of people. It is a sign of a heart that is hardening a little bit. Amen. Watch out. This is a difficult one for reading the Bible and thinking, I've read that before. Just watch out for that. Read it again. Open the chest that the Word can come in. Amen. The sword of the Word is meant to cut into our hearts in a way that we feel uncomfortable. Yo, but Vanny, you're making me feel uncomfortable this morning. Exactly. He's busy with a great work in your life. Soften your heart. And this is the word of a gospel, a great offense. You are a sinner, and I am a sinner. So let us call to one who came to save us. And let us soften our hearts to that. Let's stand up this morning and respond with soft hearts. There's one thing I want to ask you to pray for this morning. One thing. I want to ask you if you would be so brave to pray for your heart and to acknowledge first and foremost, Lord, because this is a human heart, it's got the ability to harden very quickly. And if you feel that you are really at the healthy place with God, you're really feeling close to Him, that makes me glad this morning. But you can also pray. You say, Lord, so when temptation comes to me to harden my heart, keep me safe. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from that hardened heart. Maybe you feel, man, this heart has been hard for 60 years. Can it soften? Yes, it can. Yes, it can. You bring that heart to God. I didn't plan this, but I just feel, I just want to say this. Maybe it's for one person. Please be very aware of unforgiveness in your heart. That family member. It is a door for the hardening of your heart. Forgive this morning. When you forgive, you're not saying what they didn't say is right. You just forgive them. You say, Lord, I forgive them. I forgive them like you forgave me. Their future with you, you will take care of it. Soften your heart this morning. I'm going to give just 2 minutes while we are standing. Where I just need to stop talking and give you a moment to present your heart to